encouraging message this morning, Pastor. If you've ever struggled with depression, despair, the blues, you know, deep sorrow, you're very much aware of the devastating effects it has on you, emotionally, mentally, physiologically, spiritually, all those things combined is devastating. And yes, good Christian men and women struggle with depression. What do we do about it? Well, there's help with medicines and there's spiritual help, and I'm approaching the spiritual part of it today. We want to know, we have to realize that we're not alone in this idea and this understanding of depression. We go through it, and there are times that we will. There's times it may last a day or two. Sometimes it lasts months. Sometimes even a couple of years. Sometimes it's a lifetime struggle. And today we talk about a man with a lifetime struggle. Brittany Moses said this, "Depression is no surprise to God, and it does not cancel his purpose for your life. You may be struggling. Well, you are not your struggle. You still are who God says you are. And this does not make you less of a person. You're just as valuable, and your story is not over." Struggling with depression and persevering through it. Many years ago, there was a young Western attorney who struggled with depression. Matter of fact, his friends made sure they had taken all the knives and all the razors out of his house. He even said this during his time. He said, "I am now the most miserable man living. Whether I shall ever be better, I cannot tell." We know him today as Abraham Lincoln, a man who struggled with depression and persevered through it. Depression has invaded the lives of very many in the Bible. Today we talk about one of those, the prophet Jeremiah. If you turn your Bibles over to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 20. He's also known as the weeping prophet. Kind of gives you a clue there. The weeping prophet. Over in chapter 18 and in 19, God uses Jeremiah to proclaim his message to the Israeli people. In chapter 18, God leads Jeremiah down to the potter's house, and he watches the potter working on the potter's wheel, creating all the pottery that is used for the people. And God is teaching him something on how Israel is in God's hands, and just like this master potter is shaping the clay like he wants it, God can shape us. Jeremiah chapter 19. God comes to Jeremiah and says, "You go tell the Israelite people that I'm sending destruction on them." And in chapter 19, he gives the details of what he wants Jeremiah to say. Jeremiah then goes to the temple. Get it? The temple. Because the Israeli people, the Israelites, had turned on God. They still had some who worshiped, but it was tainted worship of God. They began to create idols and worship Baal. Jeremiah comes into the temple and proclaims the destruction that's coming to Jerusalem and to Israel. That Babylonians are coming and they will destroy your walls, they'll destroy your temple, they'll destroy and kill you, and they'll take you into captivity. Summing up what God told him. The priest was so mad that he had Jeremiah beaten and put in stocks overnight by the gate so everybody could laugh at him as they walked by. He didn't like the message that Jeremiah had proclaimed from God. So we get into chapter 20. Jeremiah is let out of the stocks the next day, and he tells the priest exactly what's going to happen to him too. He didn't back off at all. He's like, "You're going to be carried off in captivity, and before you go, you're going to see your people killed." Jeremiah went on about his business. We begin to pick up in verse 7. J- Jeremiah proclaimed what God wanted. He did everything that God told him to do. He was beaten for it. He was put in stocks for it. And now he has a downfall. Not a sinful downfall, but really an emotional breakdown. Verse 7. Jeremiah is complaining to God now. He said, "You deceived me, Lord, and I was deceived. You overpowered me and prevailed. I am ridiculed all day long. Everyone mocks me. Whenever I speak, I cry out, proclaiming violence and destruction. So the word of the Lord has brought me insult and reproach all day long. But if I say, I will not mention his word or speak any more in his name, his word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. I'm weary holding it in indeed. I cannot. I hear many whisperings, terror on every side. Denounce him. Let's denounce him. All my friends are waiting for me to slip, saying, perhaps he will be deceived. He will be deceived. Then we will prevail over him and take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me like a mighty warrior. So my persecutors will stumble and not prevail. They will fail and be thoroughly disgraced. Their dishonor will never be forgotten. Lord Almighty, you who examine the righteous and probe the hearts and minds, let me see your vengeance on them. For to you I am committed my cause. Verse 13 says, sing to the Lord. Give praise to the Lord. He rescues the life of the needy from the hands of the wicked. But listen in verse 14 what happens. Cursed be the day I was born. May the day my mother gave birth to me not be blessed. Cursed be the man who brought my father the news, who made him very glad, saying, a child is born to you, a son. May that man, like the towns the Lord overthrew without pity, may he hear wailing in the morning and battle cry at noon. For he did not kill me in the womb, with my mother as my grave, her wound enlarged forever. Why did I ever come out of the womb? To see trouble and sorrow and end my days in shame. Let's pray together. Father God, today, Lord, we come to you realizing that depression is a very real condition that many Christians struggle through. Lord, some of us have battled with this for a few years and some for a lifetime and some only temporary. But God, we realize the devastating effects it can have on us and our family. And God, today we lift up all who today may be struggling. Lord, give them power to persevere, courage to look forward to what you're going to do when they feel helpless and they feel hopeless. God, I pray that you give them what they need. Lord, to endure to the very end, and Lord, to their darkness departs. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So there are a few things we want to see how Jeremiah handled himself in this deep despair that he was going through. And if you've ever been through depression, you realize that it is despair. It doesn't seem like tomorrow is going to be any better than you are going through right now. And Jeremiah faces, and we see this up and down of emotions that he's going through and we read through. So several things we need to see. First of all, Jeremiah blamed God. This prophet of God, this powerful man of God, who spoke God's very words to the Israelite people, blamed God for his condition. We see in verse 7, it says, "Oh Lord, you misled me. I allowed myself to be misled. You are stronger than I, and you overpowered me." Jeremiah blamed God for his current situation, for feeling so bad, he blamed God. Have you ever done that? Have you ever blamed God for something that you were experiencing, you're going through? He was so distraught that he was pointing his finger at God and giving him, you know, for giving him this hard message to prophesy to his fellow Jews. "It's all your fault, God. You chose me to do this, and now I'll go do it. Look what happened to me. It's your fault." Jeremiah's telling God that he overpowered him. And Jeremiah didn't have a choice but to follow what God said do at all costs. That great prophet is voicing this frustration with God because he felt that God had just left him there to suffer this beating and this shame and these shackles. Depression, listen, depression can do that to us. We want to blame God. We want to blame other people. We want to blame those who we have failed to say no to, who've taken our time, who've sucked our energy out of us, who've used us till we feel like we've been put up wet, you know. We want to blame somebody else for us feeling this way. Jeremiah did the same thing. Depression has a way of doing that to us. That deep despair is that we want to point our finger at someone else. And we want to say, well, it's your fault. You did this and you did that. Listen, what other people do to us, we may not can help in some situations, but we also can help ourselves by saying no. No is a good word. If we learn no, it saves us a lot of heartache and depths. There's some things that we can say no to and some things that we can't say no to. Jeremiah couldn't really say no to God because God was overpowering in him. And Jeremiah had to deal with the yes of saying yes to God. So what did he do? He blamed God because he was feeling like he was just overwhelmed. He was beaten. He was in shackles. Everything that you could imagine that could have gone wrong toward the end, their mistreatment of him happened. And he blamed God. Sometimes we want to point fingers at family. Sometimes we want to point fingers at co-workers, church people, our spouse, our children. Yes, sometimes even God. The second thing we see, Jeremiah pitied himself. He pitied himself. We see in verse 7 and verse 8, he says, "I am ridiculed all day long. Everyone mocks me. Whenever I speak, I cry out, proclaiming violence and destruction. So the word of the Lord has brought me insult and reproach all day long." He pitied himself. It's like, God, because you call me to do this, because you call me to say these things, I'm miserable. Look what happens to me when I do what you tell me to do. This great man of God, this man called and set apart by God and was doing what God said, it didn't turn out rainbows and unicorns. And he pitied himself because of the way he had been treated. He was beaten and ridiculed and laughed at, put in stocks for others to walk by and shame him. Jeremiah pitied for the way he was treated. He recounted over and again every word that people would say to him. You imagine sitting in stocks out after you just got beaten. He's sitting in stocks by the gate and people coming in and out of the gate, calling him names, saying all kind of ugly things about him, probably cursing him in God's name. Because of what he did in the temple. And he played it over and over in his mind like a CD on continuous play. With a heavy weight, Jeremiah was carrying the insults. And it buried deep into his emotion. He is now complaining to God for what he has been through. He couldn't believe his friends had treated him that way. Verse 10 says, "All my friends or waiting for me to slip and saying, perhaps he will be deceived and then we will prevail over him and take a revenge on him. Jeremiah is just playing this over and over in his head, over and over. We too can begin to pity ourselves when we're feeling down, and it just drags us even more. We begin to think about an insult that someone told us, or maybe a string of insults. We begin to think about how many times people have used us. But when we need their help, they're not there. Listen, when you're going through depression, all of those thoughts come. And it's like a video camera over and over and over, watching the reruns over and over. And the more we watch it, the more we say it to ourselves, the more we remember it, the more we hear it, the deeper into depression we go, day by day. And we begin to pity ourselves, just like Jeremiah. And listen, what other people have done may be legitimate. They may have said ugly things to us. They may have not treated us fairly. They may have used us. It's our response that's beginning to be the issue now. The more we claim victim, the more we replay these things in our mind, just the deeper that we go. We started out feeling bad, and we started out feeling used. And now we're beginning to dig deeper into ourselves to where we begin to get angry, we begin to get resentful, and we just get sorry for ourselves. We begin to get sorry for ourselves for even being here. See, depression darkens as we pity ourselves for the way we feel. We have been treated, mistreated. We have unfulfilled expectations of ourselves and of others. And sometimes it's just the way things are in life. Depression just seeps in a little deeper. Sometimes it's from unforeseen circumstances. Depression just begins to deepen in us, and we pity ourselves because maybe there's been a sudden change in our life. Maybe we've lost our spouse. Maybe we've lost a child. Maybe we lost a parent. They passed on. Maybe we're fired from a job. Maybe we failed in school and we were really trying. We're pouring ourselves into it and we come up short. Maybe there's been a separation in our marriage. Maybe there's been a divorce in our marriage, and it's just piled up on us. And we can begin to regret all the things that we wish we'd have done differently, and thoughts that we begin to blame ourselves then for things, and we blame others. And it just weighs down. We pity who we are in our existence. The third thing we see about Jeremiah, that Jeremiah experienced these waves of emotion in his despair. Not everything was blame. It's amazing when we go through a depression, we go through despair. Not everything is bad, bad, bad. There's these waves of emotions that hit us. And waves of clear thinking and it may last a day or two, and then we're right back. Listen to what Jeremiah, in verse 9, he says, but if I say, now listen, he just blamed God for his condition. He just blamed God for giving him this message to proclaim, and he's pitying himself. But over in verse 9, he says, but if I say, I will not mention his word. If he's saying, if I don't do what God tells me to do or speak any more in his name, his word is in my heart like a fire, or burning, the fire shut up in my bones. I am weary from holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. And verse 11 says, the Lord is with me like a mighty warrior, so my persecutors will stumble and not prevail. He's saying, God, it's your fault. Pity what I've been through, the experiences I've had. But God, when it's stored up in my bones, I've got to preach. I've got to proclaim it. It's making me miserable not to say. So Jeremiah's torn between what I know God has called me to do and what I'm going through right now, and it's this fire. So he has these waves of pitying himself and these waves of exalting God. And Christian, for us, We too, like Jeremiah, have these glimpses of glory that brings hope and certainty that God will lead us through to victory. God does it for us as he did it for Jeremiah. We're his children. He loves us. He cares for us. And he will carry us through it. We know he will. Charles Spurgeon, he said, "Oh, dear friend, when thy grief presses thee to the very dust, worship there." God reminds us in our darkest days that he's still in control and he's not forgotten us. He is with us. Isaiah chapter 41 verse 10 tells us, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you by my righteous right hand." His power is still in our life, Christian. Even in our darkest days, his power is still there. In the good days or good moments, praise the Lord. Lift him up. He is with you and will carry you through. He will give you victory. You may be in the battlefield of depression. Listen, you may not be out of it yet. But like that moment that God gives you, just praise his name. It's amazing that even when we're in our deepest and our darkest, inside of our soul, believer, there's this calming that the Holy Spirit brings. That we know God is in control. Yes, we want relief. Yes, we want to escape. Yes, we want it to get better. But deep in soul, deep inside, we know God is ultimately in control. He is sovereign. Listen, God has allowed us, when we're in our deepest depression and despair, he's allowed us to go through that for his purpose. The fourth thing we see is that Jeremiah struggled with these vengeful thoughts. Listen to this roller coaster ride of emotion that Jeremiah is on. So he's blaming God, he's pitying himself, then he's praising God, and then he wants revenge. So Jeremiah hits his positive, unswerving, praise of God, where he recognizes God's sovereignty. And then it's followed by this desire to see God get even with all those people who hurt him. Doesn't that sound like us? We're not quite ready to forgive yet. We see in verse 12 a lot of part of it. Jeremiah says, "Let me see your vengeance on them. For to you I have committed my cause." Jeremiah said, "God, let me have a ringside seat. This destruction that I proclaimed on them in your name, this destruction that you said that you were going to bring on the people, listen, they mistreated me. They hurt me, they beat me, they put me in stocks. And God, whenever you bring your vengeance on them for doing all that and for leaving you, I want to watch." Isn't that like us? People keep throwing that word karma around. Please don't ever use that as a Christian. That's a Hindu word. Listen, you entrust people to God's care. People who have hurt you, people who have done things against you, just entrust them to God's care. Don't be the one who wants the ringside seat to see harm and hurt come to their family or to them. Jeremiah, he said, "Listen, I want to watch it. I want to watch what you're going to do to them because of what they did to you, God, and what they did to me." And sometimes we tell God that, "God, I'm giving them over to you. I'm forgiving them, Lord, but I want to watch when you get even with them. Your word says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I want to watch it, Lord." Something inside of us that just kind of begins to deal with this unforgiveness and this bitterness and this resentment, because we know there are people who had taken advantage of us. We know there are people who have harmed us. We know there are people who have used up our energy and our time. We know there are people who are just who are not very grateful, who just pulled us down, did something so drastic to hurt us. And we want to drag them. We want to see them pay for it. And all that really does is bring us deep into despair. Jeremiah praised God, and then he asked for special view to see God's wrath of people. And sometimes we do the same thing. How do we persevere through depression? Because you see, the next thing that Jeremiah really sinks deeper into despair. All this roller coaster ride of emotions from blaming God and pitying himself and then praising God and then wanting a ringside seat to see what God's going to do to all these people who heard him, were laughing at him and making fun of him. Now he's like, whew, he crashes. His thoughts were racing and all the things that were pressing on him. Verse 14, listen to what he says. Cursed be the day I was born. So he's going up this roller coaster, and then he flattens out. May the day my mother bore me not be blessed. Cursed be the man. He's even cursing the man who took the good news to his father. Said, a child is born to you, a son. May that man be like the towns the Lord overthrew without pity. May hear wailing in the morning and battle cries at night. Listen, he's not wanting to be alive anymore, Jeremiah. How can he go through this roller coaster? Listen, this is a man of God. Listen, if he went through this, so can we. Don't ever think you're so wonderful of a Christian and you're so close to God that you will never experience a downturn. That you would never experience despair, intense sorrow, and depression. I've heard Christians say, well, you know what? If you just got to pray more, you just got to read your Bible more. It's more than just spiritual things. And I hear preachers say that. And I've heard others, and I'm like, man, you're just ignorant. That if God's men and women in the Bible have experienced that, then it happens to us too. Jeremiah's wishing he was dead. But you notice something? He never does anything to harm himself. He's up and down. But he never does anything for self-harm. Jeremiah just stays the course till the darkness passed. Every night that we go through in our life, there comes a day. Every darkness and despair that we go through, it may be extended in our life, but the day is coming. The clouds will move aside. Jeremiah dealt with this depression his entire adult life. This godly man who was chosen and commissioned by God was in the pain of depression many times. The weeping prophet is what he's called. He had times where all is well and things were going great, and then the struggle would hit him night and day. But you know something? God never gave up on Jeremiah. God never gave up on him. He never said, well, I'm done with you because you can't get your act together. And he never did that. Matter of fact, after Jeremiah's rant of despair, going through all this emotions and everything that he's going through, Jeremiah chapter 21, verse 1, says, the word came to Jeremiah from the Lord. God allowed him to go through this time of depression, go through all this up and down, this ranting, not even wanting to be here. And God never quit on him. God never left him alone. And God was walking with him the whole time. And he let him go through all of that to teach him different things about it. That God is trustworthy. God is dependable. That he will walk with you through the darkness. He will walk with you till the clouds are gone and the sun is shining again. Verse 1 says, he goes back to Jeremiah. I've got some more words for you. He commissioned him to go do something else. Christian, you may experience some dark days that are debilitating. And God is not finished with you. In your despair, God is building you to be a greater disciple and witness for him. If you're experiencing a time of depression, listen, the blues, you know, this deep despair, I'm going to share with you a few thoughts. First of all is this, you're not alone. You're not alone. Jesus said in Matthew 28, verse 30, he says, "And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age." Christian, you're not alone. Whatever you're going through right now, whatever you've been through, whatever you may be going through tomorrow, you are not alone. Christ didn't leave us as orphans. It's his grace that carried us. It's his grace that saves us. It's his grace that is sufficient to walk us through the deepest and darkest moments in life. It brings real meaning to Psalm 23, verse 4, that famous psalm that we all love so much. It says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, some translations through the deepest or the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. The second thing I want to share with you is this, your faith is not broken. When you go through a time of despair, you're going through a time of discouragement, you're going through a time of depression, your faith is not broken. You say, well, if I just have enough faith, it will go away. God is building your faith day by day. Listen, history is full of examples of men and women of faith who struggled with depression. Catch this. The great minister of the 18th century, Charles Spurgeon, who brought revivals to Europe. The Protestant great reformer, Martin Luther. And the lady we all love, regardless of denomination, Mother Teresa, all struggled with depression. Each walked through the dark nights of their soul, and God still used them. The Bible's full of them. King David, Jonah and the whale, the great prophet Elijah, the one we just read about, Jeremiah, Naomi in the book of Ruth, Job and Moses. Oh, and yes, our own Savior, Jesus Christ. So what, Jesus? Remember the Garden of Gethsemane? When he cried before the Lord because he didn't want to face what was coming. Remember when he was on the cross and, Lord, God, Father, why have you forsaken me? Even our own Savior says we battle through some dark days, we battle through some blues. Let's realize that we're not alone. That many wonderful Christian people have battled also. The third thing I want to share with you is this. God is for you. God is for you. You're his child. He loves you. He'll take care of you. The fourth thing is this, that depression is far more than just a spiritual battle. If you ever experience depression, if you're going through some times that you just don't seem like, you know, you're losing some hope and you feel hopeless, it is a physiological thing too. You need to see your doctor. If you ever think about suicide and contemplating that, you need to call the emergency room. You need to go there. You need to reach out. Don't hesitate. Reach out. People love you and people want to help. And sometimes a wall seems to be closing in and the darkness seems to be so heavy that you can't see that. But keep it in your mind. Reach out. Reach out. Call 911. Get some help. We can deal with the spiritual issues as you get, but you need that help, that physical, physiological help with counselors, doctors, medication if you need it. The fifth thing we see, too, is that God will give you strength when you feel helpless and powerless. See, it's all about enduring. God has the power to sustain you. So the issue with depression comes down to endurance, not escape. The escape awaits as you persevere through the darkness. The escape comes on the other side as you persevere through the darkness. Know that God has allowed you in this season of darkness, and He's got you there to learn to lean on Him more and more. And wait on God. One of the things that I've learned is I've experienced depression in a very, very serious way. Years ago, is that God just wanted me to lean more on Him. My world seemed dark. I couldn't see tomorrow. Thoughts of taking my own life was very real. Boy, I'm so glad that God carried me through that. Depression is a real thing. It's not made up in somebody's mind. You can't just tell somebody to tighten up their bootstraps and get on with life. It doesn't happen that way. And everybody experiences it a little different. Some is just the blues for a day. Some is more extreme. And some, it's a lifetime of battling up and down. But know this, it can hit any of us. And when it does, we need to know that we can persevere through the power of the Holy Spirit living inside of us. Let's pray together. Father God, today, we're so grateful and thankful, Lord, that You carry us through even when we can't see tomorrow, even when we can't see the next day what's going to happen. Lord, when it seems like the walls are closing in on us, the house has gotten smaller, and we, like Jeremiah, are going through all of these ups and downs of emotions. Holy Spirit, settle heavy upon us to lighten our load. And God, that You're walking with us till the storm passes by. I pray for everyone who's watching by video, watching by internet, listening by radio, who may be struggling with depression, God. They're not alone. And God, You have not forgotten them. You love them, and we love them. And we walk together with them in Christ's name. Amen.